Good morning. I could probably get up here this morning and just say the name of this sermon here, which is God Provides the Way, and turn around and leave, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to share with you a little bit about coming together this week on this lesson right here. I did a lesson on this about a year ago, and when Melinda called me and asked me to do this, I said, boy, this is going to be a piece of cake. I can go back and get my old lesson and get her done. And when last night I went through and snatched it out, God said, no, that ain't the way I want that bad boy done this time. So he let me know that I missed the whole point the time before, and he wanted me to share the real point today, and that point being that He provides the way. So, first of all, this is a story in the Bible that is a fascinating story about Cornelius. Cornelius is a, just to give you a little information about Cornelius is a feller that is just like a lot of people in this church. Matter of fact, the most of the people in this church, men and women, because Cornelius is a moral man. He believes in God. He prays to God every day. He lives a godly life, and he is all about God. He gives his money to the poor people. When somebody's in need, like the food pantry that we do here, I mean, we're here to give it out. I mean, anybody, your neighbor, us as a church family, if one of us is in need, the whole church runs to help us out in whatever need we heard. We've heard all this praises and testimony this morning about things that every one of us do in this church. Our brother that's been sick and all the cards and stuff, he just told us how much he loved us and how much he praised us. Even though God tells us that it's going to be trials and tribulations and hard times, how great it was to have his church family to pray for him and to send him cards. It took a bad situation and made it good. And we've heard about, and Cornelius is a feller that is just like that. And when I read you this story, because it's going to be a reading, I'm going to try to do this real quick because I know everybody wants to go home, and it's a long thing. But another thing I want, just Rose reading and sharing the way she did, I mean, I sat right there and this peace come over me. And I mean, just the way God lined this thing up, I mean, our pastor, as a lay leader, and the ones that's lay leaders in here, you know, every time, even though she's not here, she's still here because she calls you every time, no matter what, when speaking here or speaking somewhere else, she calls you and she prays you up on the phone. She called me this morning, and this gets real personal, but she called me this morning, and I told Amber when the phone rang, I said, if that's 2626, don't answer it. And she said, no, it's Melinda. I said, okay, I got to take that one. So Melinda tells me, you know, she's thinking about me and she's praying for me, and you know, she said, let me pray you up and all that. And I said, well, I'm sitting there thinking to myself now, I said, this is a weird place to be prayed up here. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, how better of a place can you be than my holy water running all over you, because I was in the shower. So I got prayed up in the shower this morning. So and then all the other people, and you know who you are in here, that just come together and put the songs in the right place, because them songs are about me, you know, and I know the ones in here that had something to do with that, and I appreciate that because it just makes it all come together. But even though Cornelius was who he was and helped everybody and done everything else, and I'm just telling you these things to to just so you have a little bit, so when you read about these certain things, that when I get to them in there, because I'm not that great of a reader, that it'll just help you out on what the deal is there. And the last thing to get us ready for me to start reading here is God don't really mention but Satan but one time. And it is a battlefield, and the battlefield is in our mind. So all the negative thoughts and everything about whether it's me up here speaking, it ain't me, it's God. I give him every bit of the glory. So I'm just kind of giving him a black eye before I even get started here. So just he warns us about that in one little sentence in here, and when you get to that, you'll see what I'm talking about. But let's just hear how God provides the way for Cornelius to be saved. And I was thinking about it. I said, man, I mean, you know how your parents and everything's always one step ahead of you. God, I counted up last night, God's about 150 steps ahead of us all the time. And it's going to be plainly to be read right here in his scripture here. So as we read about Cornelius this morning, I hope it really blesses your heart. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a certain of the band called Italian band, a devout man. In other words, he was great. The one who feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. And in other words, he gave to the poor people. He prayed to God always. He prayed to God all the time. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when Cornelius looked at him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms are come up before a memorial before God. In other words, all his good deeds and everything he'd ever done, God was looking at him. He was just taking care of him and looking at everything he was doing. And now, the angel says, and now send men to Joppa and call on one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Now God is setting up here. He's setting up his way for Cornelius to accept a blessing here. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called his two household servants and his devout soldier and them who waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. And the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter, now boy, God's putting it together here now, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open up and a certain vessel descending into as it had been a great sheet knit that the four corners of it let down into the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, the wild beasts, the creeping things, and the fowls of the air. And there came a voice unto him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again the second time. Peter was a tad bit hard-headed. What God has cleansed, that all not thou be called common. This was done thrice. In other words, he done this three times. There that hard-headedness. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, why Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made entry into Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Now, if there's anybody that believes that the Holy Spirit might be in this place this morning, you can slide your shoes off right quiet. You ain't got to worry about your feet stinking, because God takes care of every bit of that, and we're reading about that right now. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. Don't doubt where them feet's going to stink, because they won't. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am who you seek. What is the cause wherefore you have come? And they said, Cornelius, the certain, a just man, and one who fears God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by the holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear the words of you. In other words, there's some words here that Peter's going to have to tell Cornelius. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Jehoiada accompanied him. And the morrow, after they had entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. In other words, he's called all his close people together with him. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he, Peter, talked with him, he went in and found many who were come together. And he said unto them, you know how it is that it is unlawful for a man who is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. In other words, Cornelius was a Gentile. And the Jews weren't supposed to have nothing to do with them, because they were unclean folks. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I into without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore that in tent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And he even fasted. And at this ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayers is heard, and your aims have been in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. You know, a lot of times this kind of gets a little bit, maybe a little boring, but when God really wants us to understand something real important, three times, he's going to tell us the same thing three times. So he lodged into the house, and Simon and the tanner by the sea, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. And immediately therefore I sent to you, and you have well done that you are come. Now therefore are we all here in the presence before God to hear all things that are commanded you of God. Now at this point in time, God is, he sent an angel to Cornelius. He sent one to Peter. He has lined them up to all come together to accept the greatest blessing of mankind. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of the truth, I perceive that God is no longer a respecter of persons, but in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching the peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and with the Holy Spirit and with the power, who went about doing good and healing and all who oppressed the devil. You know, I spoke about that a few minutes ago. We got to get him out of the way so we can get our blessing. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before God, which was the disciples, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses, and through his name believes in him, so ever shall receive remissions of their sins. That's what freed us, is that remission that Jesus Christ freed us from our sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them which heard the word. The Holy Spirit fell upon them and they were saved. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, and many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, back in that day, nobody got that but the Jews. But now he has poured it out on the Gentiles and the whole world. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnifying God. Then answered Peter and came, Can any man forbid the water that those should not be baptized which had received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and prayed they him would tarry a certain day. Now we went from being good men and women, because see, it might not be exactly the way that it happened on Cornelius here, but God plans the way for every one of us to accept his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He set the way. But sometimes we allow things to get in the way and hinder that. And this story about Cornelius, paying attention to what God said, listening to that quiet voice and not that loud one that says, oh, no, boy, don't you do that. No, you just sit right back there where you at, and you ain't got to do that. You just keep doing them good deeds you've been doing, and you just give your money and you do all them things, and that's going to be good enough. God sets the way, and he set it up for Cornelius to send for Peter so Peter could come back. You know, I said about 100 different ways that God stays a step ahead of us. When I read that, I think about when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you really love me? Peter, do you really love me? Then feed my sheep. You know, he had Cornelius in mind the whole time. He had every one of us on his mind the whole time he was hanging on that cross. So you can do all the good deeds you want to do. You can give all your money you want to give. You can do all them great things you want to do. But if you got something in your mind and not your heart that's saying, oh, that's good enough, it ain't. Our world and our society today would have read this right here and said, oh, yes, Cornelius is saved. He done all these great things. He felt good. He made other people feel good. But God has a divine way. And it's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he done on that cross. Cleansed us with his blood. And anything short of that, we fall short. And it's just as simple. I'm going to read something real simple here, and then I'm going to be done. That's real simple. There's an entity that makes us think that it's got to be complicated, and we got to work at it, and we do all this stuff right here. But I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it real slow, so if you want to say it along in your heart and in your mind or out loud, I really don't care. But if you do say it, you praise God when we get done, and you tell everybody, because it's the biggest and the most wonderfulest decision you ever make in your life. And it goes like this. Dear God in heaven, I come to you today as a lost sinner. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I'm lost. And I am asking you that you will save my soul and cleanse me from all sin. I realize in my heart and my need of salvation, which can only come through Jesus Christ. I am accepting Christ into my heart and what he did on the cross in order to purchase my redemption. In obedience to your word, I confess with my mouth that the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. You have said in your word, which cannot lie, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have called upon your name exactly as you have said, and I believe that right now I am saved. I know one day I'm going to cross on that other side. And it is desire in my heart that every one of my family members, and every one of y'all are, we're all family. I went and visited a mother and a father that lost a child about 2 weeks ago, Pierce family. And I was giving them my sympathy and told them I understood, and you know, and that, and I let them know that, you know, that that child was not their child, it was God's child, and not even they were their own self. They belonged to God too. And the lady told me, she said, you know, you just don't know how true of a statement that you just made. She said, God give us that child when it was 3 days old. They had adopted that child. She said, so really, it wasn't our child, but you're right, it's God's child. And I said, I hope and pray that every one of us are adopted today, because that's what Jesus has done. He has adopted us, every one of us. So I want to be adopted. And I hope and pray that every one of y'all adopted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because anything less than that, we have fell short. Brother Ray, I said too much. God bless every one of you.